It's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host, on KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Or perhaps you're walking around with that thing on the TuneIn app. Wherever you are, thanks for being here. Squamish, New York, Long Beach, Wyoming, who knows? I have several dedications, but first I just want to start out with one note. December 14th, 2012, 20 children and 6 adults were murdered at Sandy Hook School. Children, little ones. In a restaurant,
tiger screaming at the moon. People talking about nothing. Stare out the window at the gloom. You know that they've got guns. You know they could fire down on you. You know that they've got guns. Sometimes you do what you gotta do. Still you know that they've got guns. Martyrdom won't really set you free. It will leave some mother crying. It will leave a wife in misery. And the children left behind won't understand that sometimes you have to fight if you wanna be a human being. If you wanna be a human being, it means that you can't use a gun. If you really wanna make a point, it means that you must stand your ground. Even if they shoot at you, it means that you can't run away. I've heard they're shutting down our industry. I've heard our jobs are moving south. They've offered jobs to us as soldiers. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. They sent some industry to Mexico. Some business went down to Peru. They sent industry to China. Now Mexico is hurting too. You know that they've got guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just part of the story. So that's one dedication, and perhaps we'll have time for a piece later on to celebrate all of the people who, there were close to 1,000 people who showed up in Cowlitz County, Longview, last night to try to get folks to be thinking instead of automatically be taking dirty industry because they think they need the jobs. So, Clatsop County was well represented. We know what it's all about after our almost 12 years dealing with liquefied natural gas. Now, the good part is that we are blessed with a huge amount of fantastic talent, arts, music, culture, right here in our little tiny town. And I've got two gentlemen here to tell us how you can festivate your weekend. Is that that just came right out of my mouth.
I like it. I think I'm calling Oxford right now.
Thank you, Deke.
Yes.
That's the voice of Deke Guidi. And there was also the chuckle of Dave Becker.
Yeah.
Now, Dave Becker, you know, is the director and conductor of the North Coast Symphonic Band. And Deke Guidi is a lot of things, including an opera singer. But this weekend, he is going to be the soloist, and I haven't opened my program yet, so I'm not sure exactly what he's going to be doing, but they're going to tell you. The concert is this Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. And this is the North Coast Symphonic Band and Liberty presents the festive winter holiday with the North Coast Trombone Ensemble, who are opening, doing the prelude. Is that true?
Yes.
Are they really? They're not all trombones, are they?
Yes.
Yes.
They really are. Okay. Well, because when
we talk... There may be a tuba sneaking in there, yeah, in one piece, I think. But
I was going to say, when we talk about the tuba quartet, we have all kinds of instruments showing up. they're all in the same family, but but trombones, they got to be careful because they can run into one another. So tell us, Dave Becker, what's the story on this exciting concert?
Well, this is a concert, annual concert now, that we've been doing for the last five, 6 years. And so this also includes the North Coast Chorale.
Yes.
And right. So there'll be some singing as well with Deke and with them, as well as us playing. And so it's just, you know, like the title says, a festive winter holiday. It's just a kind of the festivity of the season with lots of music, secular and sacred, and things that are kind of related to this time of year. It's some traditional Christmas carols and all of that too. So
is there something new this year that you haven't done in the past?
Yes, there's. We do kind of repeat a few pieces, but this year, one of the things that's new is variants on a medieval tune.
I'm just looking at that. Yeah. How do you pronounce the composer's name?
It's Norman Delajoyo. Uh-huh. Not real well known these days. He died in 2008, but won a Pulitzer Prize back in the 50s, and really eminent American composer, known primarily for vocal music, wrote several operas. But one of the reasons band people like me are interested in his music is that he's one of the first kind of serious big name composers that started to write for school groups, at the height of his career back in the 60s. And so that's what we know him from, some pieces that have become real standard literature classic pieces. And the piece he's probably best known among the general public for, they didn't realize he wrote it, but I'm drawing a blank here. anyway, he wrote the some TV themes for and openings for scenes from the Louvre. That's what that's what it was. And,
but the name, I mean, I looked at that and I went, whoa. I've never seen that before. I've never seen it on your programs, and I've never seen it or heard of it.
Yeah. No, it's a terrific piece.
That's exciting.
And it's based on In Dulci Jubilo, which is a Christmas-themed medieval piece. And so I heard it this time. It's also known as Good Christian Men Rejoice and a couple other names. And it's a set of variations on that are... some are pretty wild, some are really beautiful, but it's a wonderful piece, and I've been wanting to do with this group for a long time.
And that's not vocal.
No, that'll just be us. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And I'm just looking because I see, of course, White Christmas, and here's Deke. You're going to be soloing on White Christmas.
Yes.
And on The Night Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're narrating.
But I'm narrating.
Oh, so
it.
Here's where the rhetoric comes
That's
in.
That's exactly right.
That's my favorite.
We're
thing
combining
to say.
All of my gifts.
Yeah. Yep. Deke Guidi, that's spelled G-U-I-D-I, in case you've never encountered Deke before. D-E-A-C. Boy, that's as hard to figure out if you don't know you. People looking at that. He is an instructor, professor of rhetoric at Clatsop Community College. And I love to say that. And he is the only man in the world I know who teaches rhetoric, because I don't know what it is. Still, someday I'll have to sit
public,
in on your
any
class.
Form of public address.
Okay. So does that mean I'm a rhetorician?
Yeah, definitely. Rhetorician.
Rhetorician. Okay. Are you doing any others here?
Yes. I'm singing O Holy Night at the
end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then leading the big sing-along the end.
Do you have to put on a Santa costume?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not well. I haven't been told about that.
No. Okay.
Usually,
we have done that in the past with Bob, one of our members, but he's moved out of the area now.
Oh, okay. Well, now, but O Holy Night is in French. Are you singing?
No,
it?
That's just the original name.
Yep. Okay, and then who else do you have? You have some other soloists.
We have the not soloists, but there are soloists with the North Coast Chorale.
Of course.
With Dr. Denise Reed conducting. And so they'll be featured too. Chrislyn Taylor is singing a piece to a Virgin Meek and Mild.
Mm-hmm.
It's arranged by Stanley Glarum, and that name popped out at me because he was the legendary choir director for years and years and years at Lewis and Clark College in Portland.
You've mentioned
where I
him
was
before.
For years and years and years as the director of bands, but well after he had left. But he is probably the most famous professor in some ways we've ever had there.
Wow.
Wonderful writer.
So when... when the North Coast Chorale is singing, is the band playing as well or no?
No. We've tried that. We've done that in the past. We're a little overpowering.
A little, yeah.
A little. And so I would like to do that. We talked about maybe trying it this year, but it's we rehearse on different nights too, and so it gets a little hard. But so this way they get featured on, they're out doing other programs, of course, and they'll get a nice chance to sing in the Liberty. And this is a great situation for them. And then when we do the final number, which is a big traditional Christmas carol sing-along, then they'll be singing and helping lead it from the front. But Deke will be actually on the microphone leading the singing.
Thank goodness.
And I will be conducting the audience to encourage them, too.
And the band will be full-fledged.
It's fun. You know, everybody the hall is just filled with sound and voices and enthusiastic singing.
And, of course, the acoustics at the Liberty are fabulous.
It's great.
So what's the story on Christmas on Broadway?
It's a great medley. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, Pinecones and Holly Berries, Toyland, March of the Toys, and then My Favorite Things from Sound of Music, of course, and We Need a Little Christmas, and ends with God Bless Us, Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good medley. We did it a few years ago, and actually that's one we did with North Coast Chorale at one point. It's for singers and winds, but this year we're doing just the wind version, so our soloists in the band actually get to play all the melody parts instead of singers.
Which is I like that. I like the idea of you're varying it from year to year as well. Now I do have a piece on right now. You know, Deke, you have a magnificent voice, doesn't he?
He does, and when you hear
rich.
When you hear O Holy Night, it's really
beautiful.
It is really wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And
many of us locals or those who have visited us have heard Deke singing professional opera with the Astoria Music Festival. But he pops up all over the place. And wherever you are, it is truly, it's so rich. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just glad you stick around, you know, instead of flying off to some other part. So, yeah. Do you have to learn some of this material brand new?
I will tell you. I came to a rehearsal 2 weeks ago and thought, Dave, we've done these before, so he will just want me here for like 15 minutes. And it's the music is interesting resuming singing with a microphone, which I don't normally do.
Of course,
and,
that's true.
It was also things that I thought I knew, and mm-hmm. So I have mm-hmm. to do quite a bit of learning. And the night before Christmas is I would say, I haven't heard the Della Gioia, so I'm mm-hmm. curious to hear that. But the night before Christmas, the band has really raised, that is a tricky piece, mm-hmm. and they play it beautifully. And it's very difficult to narrate, and that's the one that makes me sweat.
Because it's all about timing, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good thing you were able to go and rehearse with them, eh?
Yeah, I think it was really good.
Yeah, that's by far, that piece is by far our biggest challenge. And, I mean, it's a very difficult arrangement, mm-hmm. but it works really, really well. It's a fantastic setting. But, you know, every line of the poem, you know, there's a new tempo or there's something stops and
right.
Deke has to come in the right place. And he's doing great on it. And if I can conduct it.
So if you were just doing it with, is it meant, it's written to be read.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Played.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't
okay.
work by itself.
It doesn't work yeah. just as a band piece.
No, it's
okay.
a setting. It's a setting of the poem.
Right.
But it's a very creative setting, but as I said, it's mm-hmm. difficult to play, and the musicians really have to be on their toes. They're doing a great job, actually. We've done it before, three years ago, and we thought we'd take another go at it here because this is such a great challenge, and it's fun, and it's a tradition in my own personal family. Mm-hmm. That's something, not that version of The Night Before Christmas, but the other one that the choirs sing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to still, if we have a piano available at whoever's house we're at, we sit around and I play it, and everybody, I've, you know, with my son and daughter-in-law mm-hmm. are singers and
right.
other family members, and everybody sings it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, I kind of get to put some of my traditions on,
nice. How lovely.
On the program.
That sounds rather appropriate.
I don't think
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Well, but playing on piano and having family sing with it or even tell is a lot simpler than this arrangement.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, well, it's good for folks to hear you say that, both of you, because sometimes people, you know, when you do it well, everybody
sounds
thinks,
easy. Yeah,
exactly,
easy.
Well,
yeah.
what's the big deal? He's talking, they're playing, yeah. you know, yeah. it's like, oh, you don't understand. So,
yeah. Well,
excellent.
It's hard to find a narrator for something like this because, you know, a lot of great narrators don't read music
absolutely.
Well. And so
right.
Deke has the score, and he can nail it,
yeah.
you know, when and understands exactly where mm-hmm. where we are and mm-hmm. where he is. But I've done narrations of other things like the Lincoln Portrait and things with other people sometimes who do a good job, but if they get off,
right.
it's hard. It's
right.
hard for them to get back on sometimes.
Right.
So.
So that's why we're keeping him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why we're keeping you also, Dave Becker. Thank you so much. This is going to be an exciting concert. The concert is at 2:00, however, at 1:30, you can come in for the North Coast Trombone Ensemble. Are there really 5 of them on trombones?
Yes, and I think
I see a photograph.
Here. Yeah, there's 5. There's that's the on the cover there. There's
yeah.
5 of them,
yeah.
but I think I'm not
there
sure.
There may be an if, extra.
If, yeah,
slip
Dennis Hale
tuba.
May join them on
yeah.
tuba. But,
that sounds
but
good.
But they're all trombones, and
mm-hmm. and they're all part of the North Coast Symphonic.
Yes, yeah.
Which is good. So it's the North Coast Symphonic Band, the North Coast Chorale, Deke Wheaty as a vocal soloist, and the North Coast Trombone Ensemble in the Prelude at 1:30. So come early. And I suppose that it's open seating rather than I didn't take a look. It is open seating.
But I've been told that the pre-ticket sales have gone really well. So
okay, so get there early. If you don't have a ticket, and even if you have a ticket, get there early, put your stuff on a chair, and then you can roam around. Thank you so much. Community music at its finest for 39 years, the North Coast Symphonic Band. Excellent. Wow. Excellent. And this, again, is a production of the North Coast Symphonic Band and the Liberty Theater. So, and I see, look, I just flipped it over.
Somebody in the clarinet section, you probably just noticed. Is that what you just said?
Well, also, I flipped it over and I see what's coming in 2019. You have Andy and Rachel, your children, your son and daughter-in-law, but then also Three Leg Torso is coming.
Yes, yeah. After being how do you say that? Unplugged, I guess. Oh, the power went out at our last concert.
Yes, it did.
And the their portion, the big portion of the concert, at the which was the second half, where we were going to play five tunes with them, didn't happen.
Yep.
And we've worked out. they've been very gracious in allowing, they wanted to come back, and so we worked out a deal. So they will be doing about half the concert. So it'll be half them,
nice.
And we'll get to do those tunes. The lights will stay on.
Yeah,
it wasn't the Liberty Theater's fault that the lights went out.
And it's happening in July, so
it's
we're
in
probably
July. And then the other half will be like traditional Fourth of July music.
Excellent.
But yes, Jennifer Crockett, who's the director of the Liberty Theater, the executive director, is going to be playing in our clarinet section, helping us out there, too.
So it's wonderful. This community is super. And the weather's great. Not that you should move here, but you're welcome to come visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Dave Becker, the director and conductor of the North Coast Symphonic Band, and Dee Guidi, the soloist this Sunday, as well as the, so how can I say it,
rhetorician?
Well,
I don't know.
Figure it out.
Okay.
And singing and narrating. It's going to be a gorgeous concert. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have some music from Adams and Costello, Meet the World. They are playing at the Cannon Beach Arts Academy on, that's also Sunday. There's a holiday party, 11 to 4. They're playing at 2:30. Let's have a listen, and my next guest's got a full show. Thanks for being here, folks.
Making me get down on my knees.
Again, that's Adams and Costello from their newest album, Meet the World. And they are going to be playing starting at 2:30 as part of the Cannon Beach Arts Association holiday party on Sunday. And it's from 11 to 4. So my next guest is somebody I'm not sure. You have been on this show before, though, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? I'll turn your mic on and then you can even talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Arnie Humesty is here. And I am honored to be able to introduce what he has done, or let him introduce, actually, what he has done. His brother, Neil Humesty, and folks around here probably recognize the names, but I'm going to ask Arnie to tell us just a little about who they are, and this family of Finns. And Arnie is going to be introducing two books that he has recently published, novels by his brother, Neil Humesty, who died in 2011, with leaving more than half a million words behind. And I am incredibly impressed at this project you took on. Was this in your mind for a long time?
Yes, he died in 2011, and he was a writer, and he had several of his short stories published in magazines and literary reviews, and he was in the process of trying to get one of his novels published through a New York agent, and she was very impressed by the book and was certain that it was going to get published, and she sent it to all of the major publishing companies, and the responses from the publishing companies, and I've printed some of them in the front of this
book. They're fantastic.
They were all very positive, but they just decided it wasn't for them at that time. Mm-hmm. One of the publishers was very nearly ready to publish, but then they realized that a rival company was publishing a book on a similar theme at that time, and they backed off.
Yeah.
But anyway, in his second book, he really didn't have a chance to shop it around because mm-hmm. he died shortly after that. But I knew his writing is good, and so I've just for a number of years been sitting on it and wondering what to do with it, and finally I just decided, well, I'm going to publish a couple of them anyway. And so I published one comic novel and one more serious novel.
And I only got to the comic one because I was just telling Arnie my plan was to sort of read a little bit from each of them or kind of skim them both so I'd be able to. But I started reading this, I See London, I See France, and I could not put it down. Well, I had to put it down because I was laughing so hard. It's like a stand-up comedian. The jokes keep coming, but they are so smart. And they show a vast experience. I mean, I was having a blast. Some of the local stuff, you know, like the lutefisk.
Yeah.
But then all over the world stuff, because I've done a lot of traveling. And I'm just reading some of that he's picked up on so many little details.
Yeah, he did a lot of traveling too, and this is about a Northwest family taking a kind of a grand tour of Europe, and it's a kind of an eccentric family.
Kind of.
Yeah, and they also get implicated in a little smuggling incident, but it's full of wordplay and wisecracks and sarcasm.
Absolutely.
And so forth. And so it's just a kind of a hoot.
And even footnotes, which are
of
course as ridiculous as everything else. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But at this time in our lives, laughing is such a good thing.
Yeah,
and so I just stuck with this, and I read it all the way through. I have to say, getting close to the end, I really needed to know how it resolved, how it ended. I must yeah. say. Well, who was the culprit in this right. whole thing? Because it was like... So that's I See London, I See France. And this is it's a good-sized book. I didn't yeah. count the pages, but...
I think it's about...
289 pages.
Yeah, yeah. about 90,000 yeah. words.
And so, and the other one, 40 Ways to Square a Circle, is a more serious
theme. And that's quite different. I don't know if you'd allow me... I have the letter that he was going to send to an agent mm-hmm. regarding this book, which kind of explains it in his words.
Okay.
Do you think I have time to read?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Not.
We're
okay.
running a little
okay.
late.
Okay. Okay. Well, I won't. I'll
read
just
a
say.
Little bit of it,
I will just say that it's a much more serious book. I mean, there's humor in it, but it's he was a high school language arts teacher, mm-hmm. and he was also responsible for caring for our elderly aunt, who had dementia when she got into her 90s. And before that, she was just a vibrant, you know, wonderful woman. And then she got dementia in her 90s, and it came to him to be the primary caregiver.
To Neil. Oh, so
and
this
so
is
he,
almost autobiographical.
Well, it's based on,
based
you know,
on.
But it's fiction.
Right.
It's fiction,
right.
but
right.
I can tell you that the character Dilly in this book, uh-huh. the aunt with dementia, is very realistically portrayed, because
wow.
a lot of the dialogue just came straight from our aunt's mouth.
Wow.
And the incidents. And
yeah.
and he also knew the school system well, because he taught for many years. He was a high school language arts teacher. And so the book kind of, it's based on the characters, Casey Merriman, and he has these two kind of conflicting crises in his life. At the school, it takes place in 1996 when technology was kind of flooding into the schools and teaching to the test and that sort of thing. And the teacher in this book is more of an old school language arts teacher, and so there's that conflict at school, and then the stresses and of taking care of his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to a rather the two come together in a kind of an interesting way, and it comes to a rather bizarre climax.
Well,
I just love the ending of the book. It's just a great ending.
Okay, well, I'm not going to skip to the ending. I'm going to read that one too, because I had not just all of the laughter, but the cleverness with the way he put this book together is incredible.
Yeah.
And having grown up with two older brothers, I could relate to some of the ridiculous behavior among the siblings, too. I mean, this was over the top, but still, it was close. So,
I See London, I See France is narrated by the 12-year-old son of the family, who's a prodigy, a child genius.
sort of. The little guy was the craziest. But also... the reason Arnie is here, as I mentioned, is he is going to be introducing these books tomorrow, 3 p.m. at the Astoria Library, which is on 10th and Exchange. And you can just show up there before 3, so you can catch the entire presentation. The name, did you create the press just in order to publish these?
Yes, it's just a press that I created. It's called Swenson Pioneer Press. We grew up in Swenson, which is just east of Astoria here, and he's buried in Swenson Pioneer Cemetery, so I called it Swenson Pioneer Press.
Right. Now, were you born in Swenson as well?
Well, we were born in Astoria.
Right.
Neil was born and died in Astoria, so he spent most of his life here in Astoria.
Did he teach here as well?
He taught in Jewell and at Warrenton.
Okay.
And he taught in Malala for a while.
Okay. And how far back did your family come from?
My father's family came around the turn of the 20th century, arrived here, and my mother's family shortly after that.
Okay.
So my mother's family lived in Astoria when she was a little girl, and she went to the old Taylor School in Uniontown and the old high school, which is now the college.
Right.
So she grew up
And what
up
was
there.
Her maiden name?
Contus.
Contus, yeah, okay. Because so. Humasty is... Do you say who or hu?
Well, it's... The Finnish pronunciation is humasty, but...
Humasty, yeah.
English people say humasty.
Oh, no. I'll stick with the Finnish. After all, I'm an honorary Finn.
Yes,
I get
you
to pronounce it that way. So, again, this is December 15th, Saturday, at the Astoria Library at 3 p.m. Are you going to... have some books to sell there as well?
I'll have some books available there if anybody's interested, and I'll be reading selections from both of the books.
Excellent. And answering any questions.
Any questions, right.
Because I'm sure there are both local people who grew up here, but also people who are newer, like myself. I've only been here 44 years, after all. So,
we have
lots of questions that you can answer. Did you, were you a writer?
Oh, I've written a few little things, but not to the extent that he was. But both my older brother was also a writer. He was a history professor, so he wrote a lot of nonfiction. He wrote a book that's in the Astoria Library about the early Finns in Astoria, Finnish radicals during the 20s.
And
so it's available in the Astoria Library. So.
Okay, so you're the middle child?
I'm the middle one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What did you do?
I went into theater. I was doing acting and directing most of my life, so that's kind of occupied my time.
Are you doing any theater here now, Arnie?
Well, there's a new theater in town, the Peer Pressure, and they're doing a thing tomorrow night.
It's
going to be a director's kind of showcase. Directors doing little readings, and I'm going to read a couple of speeches from Shakespeare.
Oh, excellent. Yes, let's just mention that this is Peer Pressure Productions, and they're at 1015 Commercial, and you can remember that very easily. It's in the Oddfellows Building. The theater is developing as we speak, and it's great to go. I've been to the first two, so I've watched it grow already, grow and change. Very exciting. It's the debut of directors, humorous and dramatic, and we've got a whole bunch of folks reading. Mick, Karen, Susie, Sen, Edward, Sheila, and now I find out Arnie's reading as well. So this is excellent. And it starts at, there's two performances, 10:15 in the morning. That's at 10:15 Commercial. And then to let people off early, the evening one is at 8:15. And on the 15th of every month, there will be a performance there. So,
yeah, I'm not reading at the morning performance, I'm afraid.
Just
I'm not
the
a morning
evening.
Person. I'm not a morning person, but I will be in the evening.
That's great. Well, congratulations on putting these books out.
Thank you.
I can't imagine a better way to honor your brother.
Well, thank you,
and I appreciate
your having me.
Well, okay, Arnie Humasty, tomorrow, 3 o'clock at the Astoria Library, reading from two novels by his brother, Neil Humasty. And the books will be available?
Available, yes.
What if somebody can't get there tomorrow? Can they find the books and go to you?
They are available at the local bookstores, Godfathers and Lucy's. They're also available at River Sea Gallery and Finware.
Great.
And all the bookstores down the coast, Seaside, Cannon Beach, Manzanita. And there's a website where if you order both of them, you can get a little discount, neilhumasty.com. That's neilhumasty.com. And if you order both of them from the website, there's a discount. And I think they're available on Amazon now also.
Okay. Well, we prefer our local bookstores, don't
we?
Of
yes,
course.
We do.
So that's terrific. And you can learn a lot about the area as well reading these books. Thank you so much, Arnie, for taking on the project and
well, thank you.
Succeeding.
I appreciate your publicizing me.
Okay. A little bit of music from John Gorka, who's going to be here on January 17th, and then I've got some more guests coming in. Do stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
The cows in the moo yard are making their plans for the long winter nights and the cold winter hands. Some out in the field are covered with snow. The black ones turn white, and the white ones don't show. Big lumps in the sunset between bovine dreams. Their icicle udders are waiting for spring. And up from the road comes the sound of the wheel. Just an old ice cream wagon. They say, I know how you feel. Well, some dream of India, where their cousins are stars. But they don't like the crowds, so they stay where they are. And some dream of Florida, of roaming the beach with metal detectors for gold they can reach. Well, what can you do? It's the ice or the flies. The temperature's slowing, the tail's going by. It's a dairy existence, and I must conclude. Cold milk in a bottle still beats frozen foods.
John Gorka. And I love that. Winter Cows. What else? John Gorka is going to be here. It's a KMUN event. Thank you, Albert. And it's at the Performing Arts Center, January 17th. And I can't remember. I think you can even get tickets already. Right now, I have a guest. And this is my first time meeting Tom Coughlin. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And Tom, have you been on KMUN radio before?
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Uh-oh, he got that ma'am in there. Are you a Southerner or military?
I was raised to be polite.
Oh, I love it. Okay. He's a theater guy, though. Come on. Tom is actually a KMUN radio virgin.
That's correct.
Well, he was until 2 minutes ago or a minute ago. He is the director with the Riverbend Players, who are usually playing their plays at the North County Recreation District. And they've already had a run of It's a Wonderful Life live radio play. See, he hasn't been on KMUN, but he's directing a radio play. I don't know. You're going to tell us what that even means. But didn't you have several different casts for that, or just the one cast?
You're thinking of Love Letters, which was done in the July timeframe.
Okay. But yes. This one just had the one. Didn't you do this one at NCRD?
We did, yeah. November 9th through the 18th. We did our five runs.
Right. So. Okay. But now, Lucky Lucky Astoria, Kala, which is a wonderful venue here in Astoria, bringing all kinds of stuff. It's also the home of Hipfish, our Arts and Culture Monthly, is hosting the Riverbend Players with It's a Wonderful Life live radio play. Now, most of us know It's a Wonderful Life, but so what does this mean, live radio play?
Okay, so Joe Landry adapted the original Frank Capra movie script.
Oh, okay.
And 85 to 90% of what was in the movie, the 1946 Frank Capra movie, is in this play. It is the full movie. The full radio show is the full movie from Praying for George at the beginning of Act 1 to the bell ringing at the end of Act 3 and everything in the middle.
So are people sitting as if they're on the radio, or is it Reader's Theater, or what does this production look
so
like?
So actually it's both. You hit that pretty well. It is a Reader's Theater, but the way that Joe Landry sets these up is you're in the audience as a 1940s radio audience participant, and you're watching a 1940s radio production of It's a Wonderful Life. So we come in costume with a live, fully with live sound effects, acoustic sound effects that, frankly, we make, and we have a Foley table and a Foley artist.
So do we get to watch those sounds being made?
We do.
Love that.
We put those sounds right up front.
That's great.
We do as few digital sounds as we possibly can, but because that's not 1940s radio, and everyone's in costume, and the audience is also at least... The way I directed it, the audience was also watching a radio station in its production. So our cast moved around like they were running a radio station, and it added another kind of offset to it.
So, folks out there, I just want you to know that I am wearing a tiara because I'm dressed in costume. Right. I'm a radio person, but I'm dressed in costume. I'm wearing a gorgeous ball gown. It's purple. I wore it in the Nutcracker, but I borrowed it so I could be on radio. I don't understand. They're dressed in costume, but it's a radio play.
Right.
How does that all go together?
But there's a radio audience, and like there was back in the 40s.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now I got you. So it's live radio. Going out over the radio, but they bring in an audience to sit there and laugh and clap and do all those.
That was very much the entertainment of the day.
Okay.
Because you could attend a live radio show to see, the various shows that were put on, back then. That was the medium of the day.
Okay, there's still, but I wonder if it's like that. I'm just thinking... a lot of radio shows have live audience. There's even something called Live Wire, but it's not a story with costumes.
Right.
So do you have sets as well for this?
We don't.
The bridge or no?
No, no.
Okay.
It's all the play, first and foremost, is for the radio audience, in quotes.
Right.
But it's, and second of all, it's for the audience that's in the studio. And so of course, we brought our applause sign. And which I see you have on in front of you here.
Oh, yes. And, but I don't hear any applause. Folks at home, I hope you're applauding.
You have to turn it on and on. You have to flash it to get their attention. And it tells someone to applaud. And when the ads are on and when we're on the air and when we're off, they are literally part of the show.
So, Coast Community Radio, KMUN, has once a month a live radio production called Troll Radio Review. Mm-hmm. It happens upstairs at the Fort George with music and it's kids and families and everything. I think we're going to have to bring an applause sign next time. Although, actually, the audience is pretty good at spontaneously applauding, but it does go out over the radio, and the only people who see it are the ones sitting there. So tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m., you can be one of those lucky people to watch this. Now, I know this group, Riverbend Players.
Right.
They've been on the air before.
Yes.
They do a lot of theater.
Brian McMahon and company have been up there, and they do a fabulous job.
They do. They do an excellent job. Are you new?
I am. I'm on the board, and I've directed twice. And I don't have a lot of theater experience, which some of them know.
How did they suck you into directing? How did you get involved in directing?
We have a group of people that select the plays and have directed before, and they thought I would be a good fit for this.
Wow. Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, I wish that the two things weren't going on at the same time, but maybe if you're in Astoria tomorrow morning at 10:15, am I right? I just want to make sure I'm right. Yes. tomorrow's the 15th, Peer Pressure Production, we were just talking about it, right, is doing the debut of directors.
Oh.
And you could come to that at 10:15 in the morning because their second production is at 8:15 in the evening, and you'll be involved in the Riverbend Players. It's a wonderful life. We all need to, as I said before, we need to laugh. We also need to appreciate the wonderful life that many of us have been gifted and blessed with. So this is happening tomorrow evening. And this, you know, if we show up and give them a good response, maybe Riverbend Players will come back to Astoria.
Sure.
Because most of them are from where? Where do you live?
Oh, I live in Manzanita, but our theater is located in Nehalem, which is the next town south.
Right.
So basically in the Nehalem Valley.
Right. It's North Tillamook County.
County.
So
correct.
They're coming a bit of a ways to produce this for us. So and I would love to have them come more because although I have great friends down there, it's nice. It's easier to.
I wanted to make a correction. There was an article, I think, in one of the papers that said we had like 200 years of theater experience or something like that. And that's probably a little bit over the top. But but this cast has probably almost 100 years worth of theater experience. The fella, Stephen Clark, that plays Henry Potter and Mr. Gower, he just did 30 years, did like he was in prison at the Tualatin High School drama department. And he's an unbelievably talented man. And we're really, really lucky to have Stephen. And we have other new cast members in this who are doing a fabulous job. It's really exciting.
It's wonderful. Do you know how long the Riverbend Players have been going?
Yes. We started in 2005, and this is the 37th production, 37th production.
Mm-hmm.
And our next one, if I can plug, is in March, and it's Four Weddings and an Elvis by...
And a what?
And an Elvis by Nancy Frick. It's a comedy. It's about...
I hope so.
Getting married in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And...
well, maybe... Are you directing that?
No, I'm actually in it.
You're in it. Okay. Well, maybe you and the director can come back in February or March and
Jeff
and
Schlemmel,
tell us,
who you may
Jeff,
have...
Jeff, yes, I have. He's been on the show. So.
Yes, he's directing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Tom. And... you don't have to break a leg, but I hope the rest of the Riverbend Players do.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. And I'm going to move right over because we don't have a lot of time, and I have one more guest, and that would be Sam Rasko from the Clatsop County Historical Society, is that?
That's correct.
Okay. I wrote CCHS, and then I realized, oh, my God. And Sam, why are you here?
Well, I just want to give you a quick background, a little bit of information about what an exciting event we have coming up on Sunday afternoon in the Flavel House. We have a rare opportunity. We have Al LePage, who is the voice behind A Christmas Carol that will appear on the OPB radio show December 24th at 10 p.m. on all public OPB broadcasting stations. And Al came to us the very first time he started doing this special performance in 2006, and he's been working at it for 12 years, and he's ready to retire. And so he wanted to come back and finish where he started at the Flavel House. And what Al will be doing is he's recreating the reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where he plays the 18 characters in different voices and sound effects, all live for you. It's quite fun to see and to hear, and it's just kind of a recreation. Charles Dickens did this himself when he came to the United States back in the 1870s. And did his readings for people, and he did the voices and everything else. So it's kind of fun.
This is this Sunday.
This Sunday, 3:30 at the Flavel House.
3:30 at the Flavel House. Mm-hmm. Now, how long is the piece?
He's gonna take about an hour.
Okay, because I'm thinking, I don't know what the layout is in the Flavel House. Space-wise, if people want to go, should they?
They should call right away and get their names on a reservation list. It's just $10 a person unless you're a Historical Society members are five.
Okay, we don't usually give prices.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. But wait, what's the number?
503-325-2203.
Right. Because that's what I was thinking. It's not a huge place.
No, it's not huge.
I mean, the building's huge.
Yeah. Well, the music room will probably be able to accommodate probably about 30 people, possibly more. But call and get your name in now.
30 people isn't a lot, folks. Call now. 503-325-2203. This is this Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Sounds very exciting, and I'm not familiar with Al LePage, but his credentials are quite wonderful. Is he an Oregonian or no?
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he's
okay.
From down in the valley, and like I said, he's been doing it for 12 years and decided it's time to retire. And it's quite fun to see.
Well, I'm glad he decided. Aren't we the lucky ones? Yeah. We get all these fabulous people.
And it's the 175th anniversary of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Ooh,
so it's
wow.
Kind of fun stuff.
Wow. Have you seen him do this particular?
Yeah. Actually, had the opportunity back in 2006 when he first performed. And it was quite fun. And I'm sure after 12 years, he's probably improved it quite a bit, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds delightful.
Yeah.
So yet another thing. I'm going to tell you some other things. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming in.
Don't forget the plum pudding starts on Sunday as well.
Oh.
And Santa in the House Monday night.
Holy cow.
Probably on that list.
So the plum pudding is in the Flavel House?
Oh, yeah. Flavel House.
What
starting
time is that?
Sunday, 1 to 4.
1 to 4. So yeah. How does that happen if he's coming at 3:30?
Oh, yeah. It'll be a little crossover.
It's going to be fun, folks. Let me give you a quick rundown. And again, 325-2203. For the Flavel House, which is a gorgeous place to go into anyway, or just go for plum pudding. Tonight, Tolovana Arts Colonies, actually this is all weekend, but it starts tonight at 6. It's an all-weekend art show and craft bazaar. And then Astor Street Opry Company, Scrooged in Astoria, tonight and tomorrow at 7, Sunday at 2. Coaster Theater, Wizard of Oz, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 3. Encore Dance Studio, 6:30 at the Seaside Convention Center. Bring Toys for Tots. They're performing. Tomorrow, the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, Dare to Dance, 9 a.m. That's a.m. It's for filling empty bellies, Zumba. So you can move and feel generous, too. Peer Pressure Production, we've announced Bob Pyle, Magdalena Mountain at 2 p.m. at the Friends of Skamakway's Interpretive Center, Astoria Library, Arnie Humasty at 3, Kala Riverbend at 7:30, Southwester 12 to 6, 4th Handmade Bazaar and Do Your Own Thing, and 8 to 10 Brush Prairie Music. Hoffman has the Stumptown Swing and the Cannon Beach History Museum, 11 to 1 Environmental Arts Series, Ocean Knots, and the Adrift Holiday Bazaar, 10 to 4, the Workers' Tavern all night, naughty or nice, and then Sunday, Spaghetti Feed for Helping Hands. Everybody's doing benefits, and it's a wonderful thing. We should do this all year round. Sunday, you heard the Flavel House at 3:30 with the Christmas Carol, and the pudding is a lot longer, 1 to 4, and Astoria Court. Has a pop-up market. The North Coast Symphonic Band with Deke and the North Coast Chorale and more and is at 2 and 1:30 with the trombones. Lightbox, there's a deadline for submissions for photographic nude. Cannon Beach Arts Association is the holiday party with music and food and fun. 11 to 4, Adams and Costello at 2:30, Fort George, Fox.